Hello and welcome to Echoes of Glory, Season 8, Episode 29. I'm Jack.
I'm ASD.
And a very special guest joining us today is Daniel Wynn.
How you doing? Thanks, Rob.
Well,
thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for being here. It's going to be fantastic to talk to you about all things Spurs, the new stadium. What a few days it's been being a Spurs fan getting over there. But let's start. Let's take it back a little bit and take it to, you know, when your Spurs journey first began. So how have you come to be a Spurs fan, first and foremost?
I think the illness was given to me. It was genetic.
Yeah.
My dad came over as a refugee from Belgium during the war. In fact, he was on the same boat as the Miliband family, just incidentally. But anyway, and they ended up in Stamford Hill.
Wow.
And they used to walk down on a Saturday down to Tottenham. And yeah, he gave me the bug. He gave me the disease. And he was home and away all over Europe. He was there in 74 in final and all that kind of stuff. And he started taking me. I had my first season ticket when I was five, back in 75. I'll just give my age away.
Yeah.
And I've had a season ticket every year since. Despite working there, I still keep my season ticket on. But that's how it all began for me.
Yeah, and did you love it straight away, or was there a sense of, I don't really know what this is?
No, I knew what it was, because I knew that he went every Saturday. Even at that young age, I knew he went to football.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it meant, but I knew he went to football. So the first time he said, "Do you want to come with me?" Yeah, of course. And then I remember walking up the old West Stand steps and looking out onto the pitch. And I got that feeling yesterday as well.
Yeah.
Not yesterday, but the first time I was there. And yesterday, for so many people, it was like being 5 years old again.
Yeah.
I think I put that on Twitter, and
yeah,
it was like being a kid and getting that same bug, that same love affair started all over again. And that's how it all started.
Why did he choose Spurs?
It was the closest ground to him.
It was just the closest ground.
Yeah. Actually, the reality is he went with a friend who was a Chelsea fan.
Yeah.
And he thought he'd wind up his friend and support the other team.
Yeah.
And he just stuck with Tottenham. And he definitely passed it on to me. So.
That's brilliant. And you talk about, you know, when your early memories of going. Can you remember what your first game was?
I don't remember the exact game, but it would have been the first game of the 75-76 season.
I can't believe you haven't looked. You don't know it off by
heart. I can tell you about most games, but
yeah,
I just don't remember. It kind of all blurred into one as a little kid. But I remember what I was wearing, and my dad bought me a little Spurs shirt, and I remember going up the steps, as I said, and just falling in love with the green and all the smells of, you know, the burgers and the cries of roasted peanuts as it was, and wear your colours and rosettes in the day. And it's just that romantic image and memory that you've got. And and it was like that yesterday. I was watching people walking in yesterday, watching their faces.
Everyone was beaming, weren't they?
I've got a 1-0 win versus Middlesbrough.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue.
No.
What a first game that is, as well, as a Spurs fan. It's scraping it at home to Borough.
Well, that's, I can read the team.
Yeah, go on.
Jennings, Kinnear, Don McAllister, Naylor, Osgood, Perryman, McNabb, Jimmy Neighbour, John Pratt, Martin Chivers, Chris Jones.
About right.
That's it. And Graham Souness playing for Middlesbrough as well.
He made one appearance for us, of course. Mm-hmm. Graham Souness.
Yeah.
71 against Keflavik.
And you must have seen an array of brilliant players for Spurs over the years going.
Rubbish ones.
We'll talk about the rubbish ones after, actually. Who stand out as the best players that you've seen in a Spurs shirt?
I keep talking about my dad, but I remember after the 78 World Cup, I was nearly 8 years old. And, you know, Spurs scooped the world was the headline. And I remember him saying to me very clearly, "I hope it was that little fella, Ardiles."
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone talks about Hoddle. And as wonderful as Hoddle was, for me, Hoddle wouldn't have been Hoddle without Ardiles. And I'm sure Glenn would say that as well, because he allowed him to do what he did. And so if I had to pick one, it would be one of those two.
Mm.
I didn't see Dave McKay, which is, I don't have many regrets with Tottenham, but that was one of them.
Mm. And are there any players in the current side that would come close to that kind of level?
I mean, the obvious thing is Harry Kane, in terms of being able to turn a game for you. I'm a massive Alderweireld fan, and Jan Vertonghen.
Yeah.
You know, their partnership, what they've been through from being kids, basically, through the Ajax setup, the national side. I'm a real fan of those two.
Yeah. Would you say Toby's the best defender you've seen?
Him and Richard Gough. Richard Gough always gets comes a mention. Up. Anyone that has ever seen him, yeah.
Only 1 year. Him and Mabbott, and you know, Gary Mabbott's very close to him. I don't want to speak for Gary, but they are very close friends, so I think he's a godfather of one of Gary's kids as well. Yeah, it's just a shame for whatever reason. I think we all know the reasons, but it's a real shame that he couldn't stay for longer.
Yeah, it's like literally anyone that's ever seen Richard Gough play for Spurs,
yeah,
always put him in their team, always say, you know, he's up there with the best defenders that have played for Spurs.
Yeah.
And then you must have obviously seen some brilliant and some terrible games as well.
Yeah.
Are there any brilliant matches that stand out?
Well, that falls into two categories for me. As a kid, obviously the cup finals, you know.
Yeah.
We're a bit Wembley'd out now, but, you know, it was a while before we got to Wembley, obviously, as I was growing up. But the 81 side, it just reels off, doesn't it? All the players there, but... I think the best game I ever saw had to be the 84 UEFA Cup final, second leg, 23rd of May 1984, and there were so many nice little link-ups as well, because the captain for the second leg for Anderlecht was Frank Arnesen, who obviously went on to work with us, and I got to know him fairly well. But working-wise, sort of as a commentator, the 5-1 against Chelsea, the 3-1 against Inter Milan when they were European champions, the 5-1 against Arsenal, obviously. There are a few like that, and over the last couple of years as well, there's been many. But I'd say the 84 UEFA Cup final.
Yeah, it's not decent, a bad one, is it? Decent, yeah. And then we were going to talk about worst players and worst games. So what and who stand out there?
Well, obviously none of the current setup. Yeah. So, I do want to try and keep my job there. Tremazani was up there. Dominguez, he came on for his first couple of games. He was so short, the ball was up to his knees. Right? And he flattered to deceive a little bit. But I think Tremazani's got to be up there.
Let's talk about what it's been like working for Spurs then. So previously as a Spurs TV commentator, like how did you get into that? How did that job happen?
It was quite funny, really, because it was... case of being in the wrong place at the right time or the right place at the wrong time, but Sky did the fan zone commentary, which started in 2000, and I think the third or fourth game they had on was Spurs v West Ham. We beat them 1-0 at White Hart Lane, and I just rang them up. I said, have you got a commentator for Tottenham? And they said no. I said, well, you have now. And that was it. So I did the first six or seven for Tottenham and the first, I think, three for England. They obviously liked something there, and at the time, Sky ran the Spurs website through their Planet Football vehicle.
Yeah.
And I did a couple for that, and then that stopped for a while. And then I think John Fennelly emailed me and said, right, we want you to come and do the TV side. And the first game I did on the TV was December 2001, and the first goal that Saturday was going to be the 10,000th Premier League goal.
Sheringham.
Ferdinand, that's right. We beat Fulham 4-0.
Yeah.
And it was about 20 minutes in, and it was so bloody noisy, I couldn't hear a thing in the headphones. Either that or my headphone setting wasn't set up properly. But and I just about heard our producer scream, that's it. And I went with it. And that's the 10,000th goal. Well, luckily she was right, and so was I.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. And what was it actually like working for the club that you supported? Like, was it as good as you, or is it as good as you thought it'd be, or is it different? Like, how does the two?
It's different. I mean, it's a fascinating insight, and I mean that in a constructive way, because so much goes on behind the scenes, and people just don't realise. I mean, the smallest things. I mean, I use Wembley as an example. The amount of work they did, especially the first full season, the full season that we were there, making Wembley look as much like home as possible, even down to the planning of getting the lampposts, walking down Wembley Way. But there's so much work that goes into the smallest detail. And they work incredibly hard. And this season, they worked at three home grounds. Dons, obviously. Yeah. And so it's fascinating. You see so much. You can't talk about much because they hate that. Don't get busy, don't say things that you're not meant to say, because, you know, quite rightly, they're very protective of the brand, and things that you often see or sometimes see are still to be announced. So, you know, paranoid is the wrong word, but, you know, they do like to control things, and rightly so, it's their brand. And,
you know, people want to get the scoops out, but they don't want it coming from their employees. So I always tread on the side of caution. Yeah, just don't say anything. Fair.
How does that impact your feeling towards the club? Because what you love is also the product which you're serving as well. How does that change how you support the team?
That's a very good question. I mean, I definitely get a different match day experience to my friends. So obviously a lot of my friends are season ticket holders as well. And we speak to each other in the car after the game, and you know, they are so blinkered that, again, that's the wrong word, but they see things as a fan. The referee did this wrong, the referee did that wrong, and I say, actually, that incident, he got it right. So I've got a monitor, I see the replay. They get a lot wrong, and when they get it wrong, I call it out, but it is a different experience. And I'm fiercely protective of Tottenham Hotspur. I would never wash our dirty linen in public. And so, you know, especially in commentary as well, on Spurs TV when it was going to 60 odd countries or whatever, I would always try and see the positive and try and, you know, if things go wrong, you know, just go with it. That's all you can do.
The football fandom is such an interesting thing, because it you know, it's traditionally been a working class game, and it's been a place where people not just support club but also release some of their anger. So naturally, with social media and things like that, it's gonna there's gonna be that echo chamber, and it's gonna be reinforced. You just got, like, we've got one in the Echoes of Glory group who is very emotional and very negative at points, and it's just, that's almost got nothing to do with Tottenham. That's just him venting, and but people get distracted by that and then link that venting to the club, and it's a dangerous game.
People moaning yesterday. I mean, seriously.
It was incredible.
About what?
Just anything, like the queues were too long to get in. Or I didn't like my seat. There was a few things. If you're going to moan yesterday,
sat behind me yesterday that was moaning, because, you know, the youth team have a very similar style to the first team. So they get the ball down and play it out. Hit the channel! Get it forward! And thinking, we're here watching 17, 18-year-olds play.
That is an interesting point, because, you know, we all think we're football managers. I've watched a few games with certain pros. I watched a cup final with Martin Jok. In my friend's house, it was just like five of us there, and he was saying, right, in 2 minutes time this is going to happen, the manager will do this on the nose, 2 minutes time that happened. They see things.
What sort of thing? Like what is that? Like change the shape or
change the formation, because a passage of play for 5 minutes has been in a certain way or whatever. He said, right, you know, the manager will change it, give it, he won't do it straight away, he'll do it in 2 minutes. And that's exactly what happened. It's just that they see it differently, and you know, we think we know players. They work with the players. They know them intimately. Is the wrong word, not in the biblical sense, anyway. But you know, they know everything about them. They train with them. They watch them train. They know their weight. They know what they eat. What makes them tick. What doesn't make them tick. We haven't got a clue. We have not got a clue. No. When push comes to shove, we all play on Hackney Marshes and all that kind of stuff. But you know, these guys know their business. You know. Talk to David Pleat. I saw David yesterday. I could say to him now, right, who's the third choice left back at under 18 level for Doncaster Rovers? He would know it like that. They know football like
it's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah,
encyclopedic knowledge is phenomenal.
And is that something you think that they're born with, or they just have such a love for the game that it's just information that goes in? Because I always think that, you know, I can remember quite a lot in terms of games that I've been to, and I wish I could sort of apply that to my everyday job, because you'd be amazing, you know, if you could recall information like that. Like, what is it about managers?
People are different. I mean, certain ex-managers of ours who like to say run around a bit probably have a different mentality to someone like David Pleat, who is way up there in my estimations. He's just a phenomenal football person. So everyone's different in every walk of life, and some are like that. But you know, Martin Yard said, I got to know Frank Arneson, and certainly David Pleat.
He's
amazing.
He is good though, David Pleat, isn't he? He's one
he's
of my
funny
favorite.
As well.
Yeah,
I think it plays on the fact he gets names wrong. It's just part of his charm, isn't it?
Yeah. And then, so you're in a slightly different role at the club now. So, like, what does that entail?
So now I'm still commentating. Spurs have a commentary service for the visually impaired. They are trying to build that up, and they've asked me to sort of lead that.
Is that in the game, so they can go into the loop? and yeah. they can...
It's not a loop. They get a headset.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, we take for granted going and seeing.
Yeah.
And it's a different commentary totally yeah. because, you know, they either have very limited vision or they have no vision. And so it's literally painting a picture. And if you go into the same ground like White Hart Lane or Wembley, they tend to get to know their surroundings. Yesterday, you spent most of the day just talking about the new surroundings.
That's so interesting because you've got to give context as well as the action.
It's context, it's position of the ball, at which position.
Yeah.
You know, whereas on the TV side, it was more statistical.
Yeah.
This is just more graphic, even down to the colour of the boots. We take it for granted that there's six or seven different colours of boots now, and you know, who's wearing gloves, who's not wearing gloves. It's a small thing.
Yeah,
and Spurs care passionately about all supporters. I'm not sure if I can say this, but I'm going to say it. But previously at the old ground, when you did the tour of White Hart Lane, you came into the press conference room, right? People in wheelchairs could not get up to have a photo taken in the chair.
Yeah.
There was no ramp. They've spent umpteen thousand pounds buying a wheelchair lift so they can have the same experience. It's that attention to detail in the new ground and their commitment to all supporters.
Yeah.
Even in the press box now, there's a couple of places there for wheelchair members of the press. I've never seen a member of the press in the wheelchair. I've seen a few members I'd like to put in a wheelchair. But no, sorry, that's a joke. But yeah, they have catered for everybody and they really care about access supporters.
Is that Daniel Levy's attention to detail seeping through?
There was an article, I think, in the Telegraph last week. I don't know if you saw it. I certainly retweeted it. And, you know, he's got a lot of stick for various things, but it's been his project for many, many years. And he wanted everything to be right. He wanted fans to get an experience like no other. Down to the acoustics. I had one of the sound guys on Thursday telling me what they had to do to get the acoustics right. It blew my mind. But the attention to detail, I can absolutely visualise him walking around saying, I don't want it that way, I want it this way, but in a positive way, not in a, you know, because he wanted the stadium to be right. I mean, that will be his legacy, and it's bang on.
So I think he's going to be one of the most underrated heroes of Spurs history, really, because if you see where he has taken, what he's taken us from and to, is undeniably, monumentally brilliant.
Totally. You know, from when they came in 2001, we've now got the best training ground in Europe. We've now got the best stadium in Europe, arguably beyond. All we need now is, and we're so close to having the, you know, the best team in England.
We've got
the most overperforming team in Europe as well, because if you have a look at, we always talk about wages and where we are versus where we should be. There aren't many teams that are performing at our level. There's a lot of teams that are underperforming, but we are underperforming really compared to who we're. But we're not buying £50 million players and having them on the bench.
But we've been going toe to toe really with those sides.
Well, we're toe to toe with the greats of Europe now.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely,
Levy has to take credit for that.
Let's talk about the stadium and the test event.
Yeah,
because that was my first experience of the new stadium yesterday. Going over there, I've intentionally kept away for the last 2 years since me and USD went to that last game at White Hart Lane.
So you kept away from Tottenham, the area?
The whole area. I haven't been back at all because I wanted to be like, right, when I go back, I want it to be finished. Yeah, I want to see what it's like. I was tempted so many times, just be like, I'll go over and have a look.
Sure.
So I got the train over there. The trains were all completely screwed, so I went into White Hart Lane instead of Northumberland Park, which actually I'm really pleased that happened, because on the approach into the station yesterday, you see the stadium, which just looks... It does not look real. It's really strange to actually see it, because, I mean, Tottenham as an area has been renovated and they're constantly doing it up and the club's done loads, which is great. But, you know, the modern part of the stadium versus old school Tottenham.
It's like a spaceship's landed in Tottenham.
Exactly that. And, like, you see it on the train, you think... That is our stadium. Normally, I'm lucky. I've been to quite a few big stadiums around Europe, and you always get that. Oh my God! Imagine coming here every week. It's like, we are going to be here every week. It was absolutely sensational. I mean, my season ticket's in the south stand. The view. I don't think there's a bad seat in the house, to be honest. It just looks like wherever you are, you're going to be like, I wouldn't change this seat for anything. So the first experience of the stadium was. I had high expectations. I said to you actually, SD, that I was a little bit nervous going, because I was a bit like, is a part of me going to be like, I'm sad that it's not the old ground, like, am I going to miss that? I didn't feel that at all. I was just so excited on what the new ground looks like. And you just get in there and you feel like this is where something magical is going to happen in the next few seasons.
But it still felt like home.
100%.
And that's the point, is the feeling, isn't it? It's the feeling of home, because Tottenham definitely, like, what? They definitely had the feeling. It was one of my happy places. Like, it was it was properly good. Even down to the block, you knew which block you wanted to be in.
It's the one constant in your life, your football club, isn't it? You get old and your parents pass on. You get old and your friends change. You can change your religion. You can change your partner. You can change your political party, your religion. You can change anything. The one thing you don't change, and it's a backdrop to your life, but in my case, for being since I was 5 years old, right the way through.
Your club.
Yeah, it was just, I was shocked as well at how quickly that has been put up. If you take a step back and just think, like, what they've done, they've knocked an entire stadium down and built a high-tech one in less than two years. Yeah. Actually, when you think about it like that, that is a pretty amazing achievement.
But, you know, you go to some new grounds and it's a soulless arena. Yeah. Okay. But, you know, the attention to detail on the concourses, I don't know if you walked around yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
But, you know, pictures on the wall. You'll see it next week. Yeah, pictures on the wall. But not only in the corporate area, in the general admission areas as well. Or GA, as we call it. in the GA areas as well. You know, it's everywhere. It's mind-blowing.
It's quite indescribable.
And the good thing is, we get to go there again next week.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear it for Palace, for Man City.
But it was loud yesterday.
It was.
That was crazy.
It was crazy. I mean, 28,900 and whatever it was. But it was loud.
Yeah.
It was loud.
Oh, and we were all doing, we're the park line, we're the Shelter side. And it was like, we'd done that a bit at Wembley, but it's never the same. Was it? No. But being back in there, everyone was just so
one
happy.
One thing I'm a little bit upset about is Paxton Road's gone. I know it had to, it's collateral damage, but it's no more Paxton Road.
Maybe the North Stand will adopt.
They'll still adopt it
a little bit, won't they? What was your role on the day then? So you were there yesterday in a working capacity.
Yeah, yesterday was a normal working day, so it was like it was a first team game. So I was commentating for the visually impaired.
Fantastic.
Yesterday was the first test game against Southampton. Just to be
And you know what? That was a really, really enjoyable game to watch as well. So I can't say I've ever been to a Spurs youth team game before. Oh, really? So that was the first one I've been to. Oliver Skipp was playing, which, I wasn't sure if he was going to play. I knew obviously he was that age group, but I didn't know if they were going to stick him back in.
He ran the show.
He was so good. He literally looked like a man in a boy's game. That's what it was.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like an old man anyway, right? He doesn't look like he's 18, right? He's got an old head on him. But him and Harvey White had a great pairing in the centre. But I've done a few under 18 games before. I used to do the stadium announcing at White Hart Lane. For those games, so I have seen them. But this team yesterday, the skipper Shashua, Janil Bennett on the left, who obviously scored the first goal, and even the centre half Walcott, that's not a Spurs name, Walcott, you know, they really did suit the white shirt.
Yeah, definitely. And the quality of the goal, especially that first one as well,
cuts in
from the left, bends it bottom corner, and you were like, that's not a bad first goal. Because you go and you think, oh, it'll be a scrappy set piece or something like that, but for that to be the first goal, you're like, brilliant.
It was, but typically, like any Spurs team, they wasted a couple of chances, right?
Yeah.
So, and then they got that goal back through Hansen. But yeah, we got there.
Yeah, it was great. It was great to see Ryan Mason there as well,
who was down
in the dugout.
I love that boy.
What a guy.
Love that boy.
He's absolutely fantastic. Poch was there as a half-time guest as well, which was amazing.
There was a nice moment, I don't know what time we got into the ground, but there was a nice moment, maybe it was before the turnstiles were open, I don't know, but Daniel Levy and Pochettino on the pitch, just the two of them talking, and they high-fived at the end, they hugged at the end, and then they walked off. Yeah,
That's nice, because we don't get to see that side of Daniel Levy, because he's obviously a very private man.
He is.
I mean, the most we got really was A Brave New World, you know, the book. How did the club feel about that? Obviously, they were involved.
I don't know. I mean, all I can say is that there's no way Pochettino would have been able to release the book without the club say-so. So, yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk for them.
But the next 10 days can be amazing. It's just the Legends game this weekend, and the players that are coming out to play in that game are going to be sensational. It's such a brilliant
Gazza.
Yeah, Gazza. Or like, but then there's players that, like, to every fan, a player means something different, right?
Yeah.
So like Van der Vaart is one of my favourite players that I've seen play for Spurs. So to see him again and like to chant his name.
How slow is he going to be?
He'll still be quicker than Kouluka, won't he, let's be honest. But Jermaine Jean is going to be the like, there's some great Jermaine characters. Plays, yeah. So it's a brilliant roster of players. So honestly, it's going to be brilliant. If it's anything like what Ledley King's testimonial game was, because that was an unbelievable.
You're not telling me Lewis Holtby is going to be there.
Two-foot the referee again like
that
before.
That clip, I think you see that clip on YouTube, it's actually got my comments.
Yeah.
It's about 5 million hits.
It's ridiculous. Amazing. Yeah. Well, I buy the nerdy side of me, I buy the DVD every year just because so you've been the voice of my the background to when I'm tied in that room for years.
So there was a DC United game in 2002, which is a nice link to what I want to say as well, but that game when Klinsmann came back, Hoddle was manager, he couldn't actually play. There's a number of legends that did play. That set up the Tribute Trust, which is a charity that I'm a trustee of. I've been a trustee since day one, which helps the former players, and I'm really proud of my involvement in that. And I have to say the club is superb. They really, really care passionately about being able to help some of our former players. And they go about their work quietly. They don't court publicity around it. But I think they're certainly the only Premier League club that help that much. Well, they help us to generate the funds. I'm very proud of all of our work there.
And what kind of work then do you do with the ex-players?
So some of them obviously run into financial difficulties, health issues later in life. Yeah. They didn't obviously earn the money that the current proper players do. And, you know, some of our double winners, I'm not going to name them, but some of our double winners, you know, they were in difficulty towards the end of their life, some of them. And, you know, just covering medical bills, just giving them a bit of leeway. And, you know, we don't give out cash, but, you know, we will cover medical bills, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Renovations in their home, that type of thing. And, it's a great charity.
Yeah, that sounds really like an amazing thing to be a part of. It makes me think a little bit as well. You're watching Harry's Heroes. Have you caught up on that? That was fantastic.
Really?
What was it about?
He gets a load of the old players that played for England, who have all let themselves go a little bit and put a bit of weight on, gets them back, gets them fit. So it's like an awareness piece on health over a certain age and just what your diet should be. But it's also obviously them getting back together, bantering the changing room, like getting them back on the training pitch. Mm. And they play, first of all, they play Ridgeway Rovers under 14s in the game. Oh, so this is a team made up of like Razor Ruddock, Merson, Letizia, Ray Parler. So like, you know, we're talking like top players back in the day, but now, you know, have let themselves go a lot. So they played an under 14 side and lost.
Did they?
They lost 2-1. So Ridgeway Rovers was under 14s.
Beckham used to play for.
Beckham and Harry Kane was there as well, was a young player. I was shocked that they actually lost that game. I thought, even though that they're all unfit, you'd still expect them to win. Yeah. They then had another 3 or 4 weeks, I think, of training, getting fit, losing weight, all of this stuff. Played Crystal Palace Ladies, beat them 1-0. And then that all led up to a big game against a team of legends from Germany. So Stefan Freund was in it. Believe it or not, he didn't. There were a lot of players from that German side that, honestly, I didn't have that many caps and I wasn't familiar with, but, you know, they were still a decent side. And then the end was like a 20-minute highlight of that England-Germany game, which I won't spoil it for you. You need to watch it.
Yeah,
they couldn't play.
Yeah, I was there.
But it was fantastic. If you haven't caught up with it, like, do. And there's so much of Harry Redknapp in it, who's like, he's brilliant value, isn't he? So that was really good. So give that a watch. Let's talk about the rest of the season then. So it's been a season where it's really divided opinions. Like, some fans have said we've done amazing to even be where we are. Some have said, well, look where we were at Christmas to now, like we've fallen away a little bit. What do you think we can achieve the rest of this season?
I think it was Brian Moore that said in a certain game in 1989, it's up for grabs now. There's still a lot to play for, right? There's 5 games at home in the league. Couple of tricky ones, City and Liverpool, obviously, away in the Premier League. But we can finish. I don't think we're going to win the league, unfortunately, but we can go on to finish second or third.
Yeah, no which you know, in the scheme of things, what a season.
I did an interview yesterday for Premier League Productions, and they said, you know, this is the boost that we need, because it has, you know, gone a little bit south over the last sort of month or so. But yeah, what better incentive than to put on a show at our new stadium?
Yeah, and, imagine the noise. It's going to be because the fans make such a big difference. I don't think they really realise how much of a difference they make.
Poch made that point yesterday at half time. The one thing that's hanging over me, you know, the hashtag the Premier League use for each game, ours is Tot Cry.
Let's hope we don't need to use that.
Let's hope it's not an Andros Townsend winner. I mean,
let's talk about that Liverpool game then. You know, that's the next one in the Premier
big
League
game.
Massive game. I mean, they're a strong side this season. How are we confident going into?
Are they?
I think they're flat to deceive. I think Mo Salah is the Egyptian Michu. I think he's had a poor season, really. He hasn't scored in like 8 games, I think.
It's Mane, though. You know, Mane's got, was it 17 Mane goals? I had no idea he'd scored that many goals until I saw that.
Between him or Walcott, no, Walcott, between him and Sterling for Player of the Year this year.
Mm. There's one player in the Liverpool team that I have never seen play well, yet he gets rave reviews week after week. Virgil van Dijk. I don't get it.
Oh, you see, I think he's absolutely unbelievable.
And you're not alone.
Yeah.
I've never, you know, that goal Harry Kane got against him, remember when he...
Yeah, it just goes past him, didn't he?
With the air kick. I mean...
He reminds me of Toby. He's just a towering... Yeah, he's just a towering, strong... Like, he represents that central...
Well, he's more of a physical presence than lump. Toby.
Yeah.
Toby's... You cannot compare Alderweireld. You can't.
I find
it's like comparing Ledley King with Tony Adams.
I think he's all right. I don't think he's worth. What did they pay? 70 million for him? I don't think he's worth that. I just think they're such
it's
a poor
not worth
defense.
7 million.
You're not. So you wouldn't have him at Spurs?
No, I wouldn't.
Not at all.
I really wouldn't.
Think that's amazing. And I'm amazed that he divides opinions as much as he does, because I really struggle when people say I don't get it.
Same with Dyer.
I will listen to a Liverpool fan who's a season ticket holder, not one of these keyboard warriors, right? Yeah. But someone that sees him week in, week out. But I've got friends that are Southampton ticket holders as well, and I don't get it. You know, they were happy that they got as much money as they did, and yeah, I just don't. You know, this sounds ridiculous. I've seen a lot of players, right, come and go. He's not one of those players that I would put up in that bracket. He's just
really
not.
Interesting. I think for me, the one defensive player at Liverpool, and he's been injured, that has really, you watch him and you think this guy could be anything he wants
to be.
And Gomez at the start of the season, I thought, when we played at Wembley, didn't we? And
but he had a bad start to the season as well. Yeah. And the first couple of games, he was a bit ropey, but Andy Robertson...
Yeah.
Fullback.
Yeah, he's decent.
He looks good. But Virgil van Dijk, no, not for me.
I still think they're a side of Liverpool where, you know, if you get at them, you can cause them problems. They're definitely great going forward, but you know, if you can get the ball up to your strikers, especially a striker as good as Kane, we can cause them a lot of issues. I was just going to say, the games where I've seen Liverpool struggle the most in the league this season have been where sides have gone a lot more direct.
Yeah.
And they've sort of just play over the top of the press, don't even entertain it. Whether or not we will do that, I'm not sure. But we look at the draw against Everton and even United, they've just sort of gone, we're not even going to try and play football in our half because it plays into your hands.
Yeah.
And that's what Liverpool's game is, isn't it? They press you higher, they prey on your mistakes, and if you make one, the ball's in the back of the net. So it's just about eliminating...
And they're quite, they are quick. Yeah. I just hope he picks the right team.
Yeah.
Depends who comes back injured from international duty this week. But I hate the way Man City have built their club. But I'd rather see City win it every year over day.
I don't know what it is about Liverpool.
Like, you just let them buy it, like whatever. You're earning football, but Liverpool, to celebrate what they're doing is ridiculous.
Can you imagine the media?
Oh, I just... It's disgusting the way they treat... And Klopp especially as well, the dentist dream.
The dentist dream? He has got too many teeth in his mouth.
He really has. Just start rubbing their hands when they see him. But we do like... If we were to do a joint 11 of Spurs and Liverpool players, there's not many I'd take in our team. Kane, I wouldn't take. I wouldn't take. I'd rather have Dele. If we've got a front three of Son, a front four of Kane, Dele, Son, and Ericsson, I wouldn't take any of that.
I would take Mane this season over Son. Over Son, if I'm honest. Maybe. You know, he's been their best player all season, really, Mane. Mm.
But if you take him out without the support of Firmino or Salah, I don't think he's as good. He's finishing off a lot of things, and he is brilliant.
But that's like Son, isn't it? You know, does Son play as well when Kane's there?
Mm. Well, yeah, but Son plays so well across so many different positions. I think he's really important, and I think Dele. Oh, we keep on talking about this. Yeah, I think he's our most important player. Yeah. But
what's Poch going to do now that everyone's back again? You know, you've got Dier back. Where's he going to fit in? Mm. Who does he drop? Does he drop Harry Winks? How harsh is that? Mm. You can't drop Sissoko.
Let
me just say that again. You can't drop Sissoko.
I'm still not. Like, just because he's gone from 3 out of 10 to 6 out of 10, he's doubled how good he is, doesn't mean he's a 7 out of 10 player.
Right, so
I would have Dier, Winks.
Dier and
Winks.
I'm not sure.
Because Sissoko can't pass.
I love Dier. His style of player, I think he does love me. That style of player is honestly is so underrated. But for the Liverpool game, I've seen him really struggle in games against Liverpool. And you think Sissoko and Winks as the pair against a quick, nippy Liverpool midfield, I think that's perfect. We've seen Harry Winks have brilliant games. It's always against the top opposition.
He's a changed player this year.
Yeah, and when the games are really fast tempo, he's brilliant. He struggles in games, Burnley. Those games where it's a lot more less football, a lot more physical. So I think it has to be Winks against Liverpool.
Without getting into the like Martin Yol seeing things that we can't see, like me trying to emulate that. Like, I love players that connect the two lines, like defence and attack, and Dele does that. Winks does that as well. Like, the goal against Real Madrid was perfect for that. You see, I think he does it twice. Like, he takes the ball, takes an extra second where most people just kicked it, and then he puts Kane away for the third, for Eriksen's goal, because he takes an extra second, and that's what his skill is. I think he's brilliant.
The one thing Dele Alli had was that little chip on his shoulder.
Oh yeah,
but there's a fine line between playing with a chip, which is fine, but you have to channel that aggression.
It's like Rooney. Do you remember when Rooney would, like, someone would tackle him and you just see him pelting after that guy to take him out.
Yeah. Were you at the game that Rooney played at White Hart Lane when he was 16? It was an under-18 FA Cup game. It was about January 2000 or 2001. He stood out. He was 16 years old playing in an under-18. He scored both goals for them from about 40 yards. And Sky picked him out and they used the club footage of those two goals. And by the end of the next season, he scored that hat-trick against Arsenal and kind of stuff. He stood out. And I remember, again, I was with David Pleat before that game, and I said to him, have we got anyone to look out for? And he went, look out for Everton. They've got a chubby little ginger kid up front called Rooney. He's going to be special. And he was.
You know, when he came through, and when he was like 18, 19 for England in that tournament, was just, oh my word. He was literally, you would not have swapped him for anyone at that time. He was incredible.
I still think he's underrated. There's still a few players who are underrated in the Premier League. Because when they start to, like Torres as well, for example, I think is, if you go back and watch his Liverpool goals, he was unreal. He scored the hashtag best Premier League goal of all time, the one against Blackburn, where he hits it over his shoulders.
Oh, right? Jamie Carragher up the line.
Oh my god,
Paul Robinson's in goal, isn't he, for Blackburn?
And honestly, I think it's the best Premier League goal of all time.
That is
we haven't asked your best Premier League goal you've ever seen live, or the best Spurs goal you've seen live,
best Spurs goal.
Best Spurs goal. I've heard you talk about Danny Rose's goal, you know.
There's so many Spurs goals. I think the best goal I've commentated on was similar to Hoddle's goal against Forest when it didn't touch the ground. Freddie Kanute against Everton.
I don't remember that.
He gets hold of his ball from 25 yards out and it flies in.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't think it touched the ground either. Amazing. There's been so many goals.
Remember that Crouch goal against City that didn't touch the floor? Do you remember that? The Crouch goal when he's playing for Stoke. That was unreal, wasn't it?
Was it the anniversary of that goal today?
Oh, is it?
That was on Twitter.
That's a good plug.
I'm sure
that is amazing. I'm going to try and find out.
I'm sure that was on. Have a look on the Stoke Twitter feed, because someone retweeted it today, if that's the goal.
That's
maybe John Champion, or maybe John Champion commented on it yesterday. Maybe it was yesterday.
Stoke. What do we think for that Liverpool game then? You think we'll get anything out of it?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
Yeah,
because they're going into it now so cocky and arrogant.
Mm.
But the slight, if we can start quickly, I think they're there for the taking.
I think they're a very emotional team. We talked about this before. I think teams take on the mentality of their managers, Man United and Ferguson, like ruthless killers. Mourinho, like just dirty defend at all cost. Klopp, really emotional. You can see he's really, really emotional.
Yeah.
And I think if they get momentum, we'll lose 4-0. If we can just be really professional and like not get angry, just play our game, I think we can win. But it'll be hard.
Watching Liverpool the last couple of months, especially at Anfield, it's like if you get through that first 20 minutes, they do tend to get extremely restless. And Burnley went up with the other week, and all right, they got beat 4-2, I think it was in, but they got an early goal, and there was just this sense of panic in the stadium. So if we do get the first one, or even get to half time at 0-0, you've got a chance.
Well, they're chasing as well. They haven't got a 9-point lead anymore. They it's tense for them.
If it was us, we'd be nervous, wouldn't we?
We're always nervous. Let's be honest. I'm not. I think a draw is probably the best we can hope for. If I'm being honest, but you never know in those games.
No. Listen, we nearly won it there last season, right?
Yeah.
And then we threw it away, and then we got it back again.
Yeah.
So,
last 15 minutes, the Wanyama goal. That was
I can believe that.
Oh, Salah!
I can't believe that.
And Kane's two penalties. Yeah.
Geez. The composure of Harry Kane. The second one.
Yeah,
balls of steel.
How does he measure up? Because in terms of like strikers that you've seen, so like Lineker, Klinsmann, where's Kane in that? Is he at the top
as well? He's different to Lineker. Lineker was more of a poacher. Kane is one of these players that I'm telling you, but you've seen him as much as I have. He'll get the ball anywhere and do something with it. His passing, it's almost Hoddle-esque at times, the way he just brings players. He did it for England, didn't he?
Yeah,
Friday.
That was a great pass.
He's definitely up there. He's different to Gareth Bale, but he's one of these players that can change a game. Gascoigne in his prime. I mean, forget Sunday.
I
just hope he doesn't embarrass himself, Paul Gascoigne, to be honest. I think if he gets 5 minutes, that might be, you know, probably just about it. But it's going to be great to have him out there and all that kind of good stuff. Kane's
up there, top,
definitely up there.
Yeah,
I wouldn't go so far as to say he's our number one striker. I mean, you mentioned Chris Jones earlier. About my youth,
but he's a third of the way through his career.
Animal.
Yeah,
he's an animal.
His passing as well is unbelievably good.
He's strong, and if he misses one, I mean, don't forget on his debut. Just think back to his debut against Hearts.
Yeah,
the boy missed a penalty.
Yeah,
that could have killed people.
Yeah.
How do you bounce back from that? You've waited all your life to play for Tottenham. You get an opportunity, you get a penalty, and you miss it.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't go in goal, we're all right.
Do you remember that? He got a hat trick in the same game, didn't he? And then went in goal.
He
let
that
stranger.
That dolly in, didn't he?
Yeah. Let's talk about the Palace game as well. So that's coming up soon in 9-10 days'
time.
Was
it a pod before it?
I want to talk about it now because I'm so excited to be, you know, the first game.
Where's it being played? Where's it being played?
I think that will be the best atmosphere.
It'll be so good, won't it? Especially as an evening game. People will be.
It's like the 4-4 all against Villa, wasn't it?
That's
1-2-5 game.
That's really
Were you commentating on that one?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was just.
It was 4-1 down with not long to go, and then Cabal at the end. We had that kit, didn't we?
And all the Villa fans at 4-1 were singing happy birthday to you, and they were just like, oh, this couldn't be going any worse.
No, it was some night, and it is going to be some night.
It's going to be amazing.
They don't spoil the party. You know, like, we were invincible, weren't we, that season?
I think
we'll carry on.
I think we'll win. I think we'll have the bounce. I think I really do.
We've got players at Comoros, though.
It's an awkward game, Palace, isn't it?
There's a
few
players.
On loan from Chelsea. That scares me.
Yeah.
Not because he's Batshuayi, but because he's on loan from Chelsea. And Andros Townsend wants to get one over on Potts.
It's going to be a great night, honestly. I cannot wait. I honestly, I could see us absolutely smashing them. Right, I really could. So we get a first one early and you just think, right, here we go. Yeah, that South Stand just going to be pulling the ball from there.
What was interesting yesterday, talking of the South Stand, at the old White Hart Lane, we used to warm up before the game in front of the Paxton Road end.
Yeah.
Yesterday we warmed up in front of the Park Lane end.
Oh, yeah.
South Stand. Do you notice that before the game?
Where are the away fans in the
Paxton Road? In the north end, put the corner there.
Oh yeah,
and they'll have to, because they've got to be in the lower tier, haven't they? Away fans.
Yeah, I think would it be in the upper tier for some games, or have I got that all wrong?
Maybe I'm Champions not sure, League, yeah, maybe, but I'm I don't not know.
Sure. Yeah. Doesn't matter where the away fans are going to be, does it? Let's be honest, it's going to be unbelievable atmosphere there.
It really is.
Daniel, it's been brilliant talking to you. Thank you for having me. An absolute pleasure. ASD, as always, pleasure to have you here as well. So remember, whatever happens, future's bright, future's lily white. Come on, you Spurs.
I always thought there was very, very many people interested in football, and I always thought that football was a very important game, but I never realised until today just how important it is.
Whether the Wonder Boys of White Hart Lane are or are not the team of the century can't possibly be more than a matter of opinion.
Well, they're the finest team in Great Britain, and one of the best in the world.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur. The curve of the ball, the billow of the net, the beating of the trap and the picking of the lock, the swiftness of thought, the lightness of touch. We are Ginola, Greaves, Klinsmann. We are the collective gasp, the intake of breath, the flick, the trick, the 30-yard free kick. We are Hoddle, Mabbott and King. We are the lob, the chip, the dummy and the volley. We are the hat trick, the scissor kick. We are Bill Nick. We are the outside of the boot, the inside of the net, and those seconds that last forever.
Van der Vaart to level it up. Raphael van der Vaart, 2-2! It's quite a game, isn't it always?
We are Jennings, Defoe and Perryman. Glory past, glory future. What was, what is, what's next? We are Blanchflower, Ardiles and Bale. We are about winning with a flourish. We are about winning with style. We are about the glory of the game. Daring to try, daring to risk, daring to dream. To dare is to do.